Oh, hi, everybody, and welcome to Enlightened Leadership with the Tao Te Ching. And I just realized that I forgot to pick out a song. I was sitting here listening. I could have been picking out a song, but I forgot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen, and you get to watch me pick out a song. How's that sound? Like fun? I hope so. So what I am going to do is I am going to open up the internet and go to YouTube. And when I get to YouTube, I am going to go to Awakening Together Music. And in case you guys didn't know, we have a music playlist. You'll notice it has 845 songs on it. So that's where I go lots of times to pick out music. So I'm going to the Awakening Together playlist. And then let me move this over here so you can see what I'm doing. I'm clicking on music playlist if I can. It will let me. Oh, it won't let me. It's a little different when I have this share screen thing on. It won't let me scroll either. Well, since it won't let me scroll and look at the songs and pick one, I guess I got to pick one from right here at the top. I don't like that. Oh, wait, now it's letting me scroll. Woohoo! So I'm scrolling through the songs. I'm going to like spin the dial. See where it lands. Oops, it's landing. Yeah, it landed right here. It quits right here. So, let's listen to Pentatonics then, right? We listened to Pentatonics of the day. Let's listen to them again. Let it go. Is that really quiet for you guys? Let's stop. Now that we've picked a song, let's do this differently. Let's go type in Pentatonics. Oops, this thing is hard to work with when you have the screen share going on. Pentatonics.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold me back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away, slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. And the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me.
Past is in the past. Let it go.
All right, good. Now we've had our opening song. So again, we're here for Enlightened Leadership, the Tao Te Ching. This is the Derek Lin version, which I'm using as my lead version. But I have Dr. Wayne Dyer here with me and Stephen Mitchell here with me too. So never know which one I'll focus on the most. Tonight or today, it's daytime here, just in case you guys are wondering. Today, we are going to look at verse 12. The five colors make one blind in the eyes. The five sounds make one deaf in the ears. The five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. Therefore, sages care for the stomach and not the eyes. That is why they discard the other and take this. So I'm trying to decide whether I should just start commenting on this one or read the others. I think I'll go ahead and just start with this one and then we'll switch over to the others. So the first three lines, the five colors make one blind in the eyes, the five colors make one deaf in the ears, the The five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. Okay, now I got to just say this because it came into my mind. Are you ready? Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't fuzzy, was he? Anyway. When it's talking about these five colors, these five sounds, and these five flavors making us blind, deaf, and tasteless, it means that we don't know the truth. It means, of course, that we are so into the world, so into what we see, hear, taste, and that's just a sample, also what we touch, smell, and think, and believe, that we're blind to the truth. So that's pretty clear. Lately, one of the practices that I use, and these practices kind of arise spontaneously during meditation, they're not planned, but I've noticed this one come up about three times in the last week. Let's see if I can describe it. What happens is something comes up in meditation, it could be a story, could be what I call a movie, because it's more like an image and it's moving, right? Or it could just be a still image in the mind. And what I find myself feeling called to do from within is to say to it, you are just mind. You are just mind. And what I noticed today is even once my eyes were opened after meditation and I began walking about, in the world, which is really just in my house, different things would appear, possibly in my visual field or possibly in my mind. And I would say to it, you are just mind. In fact, my seven steps to awakening was on the floor. I think that the quotes that we looked at today in the seven steps to awakening were closely related to this. Let me see if I can remember what quotes you guys were on. Because, of course, I do three things in the morning with the seven steps, which makes it a little more difficult for me to remember the quotes you're on. I first look at your quotes. Then I post a future quote that will come out in the daily contemplation. Then I go do my quote. So by the time I'm done with all that, for me to remember which ones were yours and which ones I posted is kind of tough. But yeah, it was your quote today. It was 103. Reality is not a concept, nor the manifestation of a concept. It has nothing to do with concepts. You know, that quote goes very much along with this spontaneous practice that has arisen for me about saying, your mind. You know, what I'm really saying when I say your mind is I'm saying you're not reality. Right? You're not reality. Reality is not a concept, nor the manifestation of a concept. It has nothing to do with concepts. So let's say there's this candy bar that I really, really want. It doesn't really matter whether I have the candy bar or not. What matters is thinking I really, really want this candy bar. That's what matters. And so if I can look at the candy bar, whether it's in my hand or whether it's just in my mind because I haven't gone to the store and bought it yet, if I can look at this candy bar and just say, your mind, and look at the craving, there's a candy bar. That looks good. That looks good, Jay. And look at the craving and say, your mind. Again, I could even be eating the candy bar. I could be tasting the candy bar. I could be noticing this love of the chocolate or the peanut log. As I taste it, I say, your mind. As I look at this supposed love for it, I say, your mind. And what this practice is doing, and again, it arose rather spontaneously, it's just a constant reminder that what I am experiencing is not reality. And that's what this Tao Te Ching, at least the beginning part, is all about. The five colors make one blind in the eyes. The five sounds make one deaf in the ears. The five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. Now, the next two are kind of interesting. Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. I feel what's happening inside right now, and I'm just going to trust it. I feel a shift has occurred in that remember the Tao Te Ching was written really for kings. And this is really referring to the people as opposed to the king. This is saying that if your people are forced to struggle in order to survive, they're going to be wild in the heart, unruly. You'll have a difficult kingdom, right? Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. You know, I remember a few years ago, you know, we've had lots of these news stories about white cops killing unarmed black men. And I remember one of those stories. I don't remember his name. It seems like his name was Freddie, but I could be wrong about that. But he was from Baltimore. And he was arrested. He was riding his bike and called over by the cops, and he was arrested without too much of an incident. But somewhere between the time that he was arrested, I think he actually was hurt when he was arrested, but he, you know, that's right. He was hurt when he was arrested because it looked like they were dragging him to the car. to the van that they put him in. And then somewhere between there and jail, I can't remember if he died. I think he might have died, or he just had, he sustained injuries so bad that he died later. And nobody really knows what happened and why he was taken to the police station instead of being taken to the hospital. And it was just one of these huge stories, you know, like the Michael was the boy in St. Louis. And I think this guy was Freddie. He was from Baltimore. But during that time when this story about this man from Baltimore was really big, I saw a little documentary on downtown Baltimore. And what they showed was that in the poorest areas of downtown Baltimore, there really wasn't anything except for fast food restaurants and churches. There wasn't any kind of entertainment, no movie theaters, no bowling alleys, no libraries. There wasn't, you know, good restaurants. There weren't many jobs. And you know, what the documentary was pointing out is there is a lot of crime in Baltimore. There's a lot of crime in Baltimore, but there's really nothing else for the people to do. There's nothing to call them to higher ground. I also recently saw an advertisement for a movie, I think it was, about somebody who started it's like a drill team for girls. And these girls are from Baltimore, and they're traveling all over, and they're winning awards, and they're getting accepted into colleges. And that was kind of, you know, here's somebody trying to do something about this sad situation in Baltimore. But this is really what the Tao Te Ching is saying right here. Remember, it's written to kings. And it's saying, racing and hunting, meaning making people have to really, what's the word I'm looking for? Scrounge. Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. And then it says, therefore the sages, and in this case it's really referring to the enlightened leader, therefore the sages care for the stomach and not the eyes. So what this is really referring to is even though the sage is either awake or awakening to the fact that the world is not real, the sage does not ignore the basic needs of the people that he serves, right? However, at the same time, the sage maintains the awareness that the world is not real. It's very much like the awakening together fifth core value. Let me share my screen and take you there. If we go to Awakening Together, this thing doesn't work well when I'm sharing the screen. It's kind of interesting. There we go. Oh, I know why it's not working well. It only works within that little box that I have going on right here. If I was sharing the whole screen, I think it would work better. So if I go to About, Spirituality, Our Purpose and Core Values, our fifth core value, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through the enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So in a nutshell, what this is saying is even though we accept that the world is an illusion, that the world is not reality, we don't poo-poo, you know, poo-poo, like that's not important. We don't poo-poo other people's concerns. You know, like I think I remember this right. Hopefully I'm not telling a lie. The memory really, you know, is awful. But it seems to me that Earl Purdy said his apartment in Denver burnt, the inside of it burnt. He broke a rule. He says, now he understands why the rule was there. He broke a rule. He lived in an apartment building, a tall apartment building downtown, and he had a balcony. And the rule was you weren't supposed to store empty boxes on the balcony. But he did anyway. He figured, it's not an important rule. And apparently the guy above him was smoking. And I guess dropped his cigarette or something. And it started a fire while Earl was in bed asleep. And by the time he got up, got the fire extinguisher and all that, it already, the traipse had caught on fire and it was coming in. So he says, now he understands why there was a rule not to have boxes on the balcony. But if I remember correctly, when he told the story, there were core students that said things to him like, it's all an illusion anyway. And, there was another fire and two other fires in Earl's life by coincidence. One was when he was a child, small child, and he lost his tricycle, which to a little boy was very traumatic. The other fire in his life, was in his sister's house and he lost his sister. So, here's a person saying to him, it's just an illusion anyway. And true, maybe this apartment fire was not a big deal. Earl wasn't hurt and they moved him into another apartment. He only lost, personal stuff. But he had a history with fire. So that fire was kind of a traumatic thing for him. And the person had no compassion for what he might be going through. No ability just to love him and just be with him. But if you look at this, this is kind of funny, don't you think, Don? We just talked about this yesterday. It's hitting me now. This is sounding all familiar. Not this story, but this idea we talked about yesterday. So this fifth core value says we accept all forms as temporary appearances. That actually, when this first came on the napkin, I don't know if you guys know the core values came on, I wrote them on a napkin because they came so quick. This actually used to say, we accept all forms as illusion. This is the one word that got changed when the core values were being approved by the original member board of trustees. The word illusion, which came on the napkin, was taken out and temporary appearances was put in its place, which I was okay with. But maybe right now is a good time to talk about the fact that originally this said, we accept all forms as illusion. It's kind of important to say that because this is what causes people to not care appropriately or to not have compassion appropriately sometimes for people who do believe the world, right? Because it's just an illusion. And this fifth core value, which did come on the napkin, it's one of the things that we're supposed to pay attention to in Awakening Together. We accept all forms as illusion, permitted through enduring awareness of self. In other words, the enduringness of self permits everything that happens in this world. Right? As we know, it doesn't object to or say no to anything. It permits everything that happens in this world. So we accept all forms as illusion, and temporary appearances also works because you can look at this core value and you can see the difference. You can kind of contrast temporary appearances and enduring, right? The enduring awareness of self, that's what lasts. The temporary appearances come and go. That's the illusion. So we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. Now, that's just the value. Here's how we live it, which is the important part. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences. I'll stop there. We'll look at the second half first. So that means when Earl is upset about a fire in his apartment, we have compassion for that pain. Maybe even we sat there and talked to him long enough to find out about the fact that a few years earlier he lost his sister to a fire. And when he was a kid, he lost his tricycle. That was even coming off of that, right? And maybe we just have compassion for the fact that to him, this is a big deal. To him, why do these fires keep happening? you know, to him, you know, is there something that I'm believing that I shouldn't be believing, you know, and we just have compassion for him. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. At the same time, we don't dive down there with him. We stay at a level of enduring awareness of self. You know, if Earl's crying, which I don't know that he did, but let's just pretend for a moment. If Earl's crying, we hold Earl while he cries, and we remain aware this is a temporary appearance within enduring awareness of self. So we maintain quietly the awareness of truth while physically responding to the physical situation. Now let me read this again from the Tao Te Ching. Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Well, let me start at the beginning. The five colors make one blind in the eyes. The five sounds make one deaf in the ears. The five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. So this is telling me, you know, I'll play the role of king right now. This is telling me the king, you know, the world is an illusion. And when you believe the world, you're lost to reality. But then it goes on to say, racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. In other words, the people that you are the leader of have needs. And if you don't respond to those needs appropriately, in spite of the fact that this world is an illusion, they're just going to go deeper in their egos, right? They're going to get desperate. It's going to be like downtown Baltimore, a whole lot of crime. Same thing with Chicago, right, Jay? Therefore, the sages, or the enlightened leader, cares for the stomach, takes care of the needs of the people, and not the eyes, while not getting pulled into the situation, while still maintaining the awareness of truth. Physically, I respond to the physical, while, I don't know, mentally is not really the right word, awareness-wise, I stay with awareness. Now, this last line is a little funny to me, and this is the line I'm looking forward to seeing how others translate it. It says, that is why they discard the other and take this. It's not 100% sure what that means, so let's look and see another translation, shall we? Let's go to Wayne Dyer. He's usually the closest to Derek Lynn. The five colors blind the eye. The five tones deafen the ear. The five flavors dull the taste. The chase and the hunt craze people's minds. Wasting energy to obtain rare objects only impedes one growth. Now that's completely different than Derek Lynn, so we have to look at that separately. But I'll continue right now. The master observes the world, but trusts his inner vision. He allows things to come and go. He prefers what is within to what is without. So if we take that last line, he prefers what is within to what is without. And we come back to Derek Lynn. That is why they discard the other and take this. This must be the inner vision. Discard the other. Discard the outer vision. Take the inner vision. While still physically responding to the needs of the people. So if we bring this into awakening together, right? And again, specifically, this is supposed to be about leadership at the Awakening Together retreat house. You know, people may come to the retreat house with all kinds of things on their mind. And what this is really saying to me is, you know, maybe somebody comes and their child was just murdered. I mean, that has happened to people who are associated with Awakening Together in the past. There are a couple different people whose children have been murdered. I think one whose child committed suicide, right? So these things aren't outside of our realm. So maybe somebody comes and something like that has just happened and it's fresh. So what we do physically is we care for them in whatever way feels appropriate. You know, whatever way feels appropriate. But awareness-wise, we continue to reflect on the fact, well, it's like I started, this is just mind. In other words, the one that we're telling this is an allusion to is not the one who's upset. It's ourself. That's quietly happening within. We do the practice of the one that's been arising for me spontaneously lately, this is just mind. This is just mind. And reflect on the enduring awareness of self. But we don't try and drag that other person into it unless they're asking for that. Now, some Awakening Together members may be asking for that, right? And if so, then we help them to get there themselves. But if someone is not asking for it, we just physically care for them in whatever way is physically appropriate. And I guess that's something else I'll take this opportunity to say. I spent a couple hours yesterday talking to someone who wants to help Awakening Together members. This person has noticed different Awakening Together members saying things when they had the mic, like I'm afraid or something else, you know, that indicates that they're still maybe stuck in some positions of the world. And this person wants to help. And in fact, she really wants to come to the Awakening Together retreat house, and when particular individuals come, she wants to talk to them and help them, which sounds okay on the surface, except it's actually an attack to try and help someone who has not asked for help. And that's usually how they'll respond to it, as an attack. So it is wonderful to assist people in seeing the truth when they've asked you to assist them in seeing the truth. But if they haven't, their seeing of the truth is none of your business. In fact, we've had some quotes, a couple of quotes like that recently in the Seven Steps to Awakening, though I doubt I could thumb through very, very quickly and find them, so I won't try. But there have been a couple of quotes in the Year 3 Gentle Healing that have basically said that other people are none of your business. Their awakening is none of your business. So we want to be careful about that zealousness that we can feel that makes us want to be kind of like one of Jehovah's Witnesses and proselytize and get everyone to see the truth our way. We want to be more like, obviously, that enduring awareness of self. Let me read this fifth core value to you again. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. But in this very first line, it says, we accept all forms as temporary appearances. This is the part that I want to focus on right now. Permitted through enduring awareness of self. Permitted, right? We want to permit other people. In fact, I'm going to have to share the screen in a second. We want to permit other people to be where they are, especially if they aren't asking for our help, right? It's funny, I'm looking at the palm of Kathy's hand. She must be typing or something. I can see your lifeline. You want me to? Let me share the screen again. This time I'm going to get rid of this portion of the screen thing. I think that's what's causing my trouble. And I'm going to go back to the Awakening Together website. Let's look at some more of our core values, shall we? Because we're really touching on several of them today. Core value number two. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. Now, here's how we live this value. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Do you see that? Even right there in our core values, we allow people to be where they are. We don't run in and try and save them. So not only is that in year three, the seven steps to awakening, that's right here in our core values, and it always has been. Now again, if someone asks for assistance in seeing truth, that's an entirely different matter. But if they don't ask, it's none of our business. It's our business to, by our fifth core value, to physically respond appropriately to a physical situation. You know, if they're terribly upset about something, we provide the shoulder for them to cry on. We provide the listening ear. But we don't try to remind them that this is just a temporary appearance permitted through enduring awareness of self if they aren't asking us to help them remember that. And it's funny because this is actually the third time this week this has shown up in my teachings without any intention on my part. This showed up in the Ramana Maharshi teaching the other night. This showed up in a team meeting yesterday. And this showed up today. So apparently it's time for us to be reminded of this. And we're really being reminded of three things. Right? Oh, Kathy Renton found the quote. That's why I was looking at the palm of her hand, I'm sure. Yeah. Quote number 27. Mine is the only mind amenable to my correction. If one forgets this truth and broods over others' faults, one only fouls one's own mind more and more. Woo! Woof. You know? Let me read that one more time, then I'll get to Jacqueline's question. Quote number 27. Mine is the only mind amenable to my correction. If one forgets this truth and broods over others' faults, one only fouls one's own mind more and more. Reminds me of another quote that we read last night about how some things purify the mind and some things stain it. Well, apparently, trying to save the world in a physical sense, trying to get everybody else to see the truth that you see, actually stains the mind. Right? And that, again, reminds me of A Course in Miracles. The miracle worker's sole responsibility, I think I always say only responsibility, but I believe the words are actually soul, but they mean the same thing. The miracle worker's sole responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. Right? I mean, we just get this message over and over and over again. Okay, can you explain why giving help when it is not requested can be seen as an attack? Yes, I can. Typically, it triggers their I am bad thought. The message they receive is you're stupid. That's typically what happens. I know more than you. Yes, Kathy, you want to say something?
Or it's not okay where you are right now.
You're not, where you're at right now isn't good enough, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Obviously.
Yeah.
It obviously wouldn't be, because someone's attempt to save me in whatever way they are perceiving I need to be saved does in fact say, you're not okay where you are, even if I'm not. I mean, I may not be okay emotionally or, you know, in my life or whatever. So be it.
So be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, the enlightened person, you know, the enlightened person would really realize that you are okay, even though you don't know it.
Yes.
Therefore, they would never send that message that you're not okay. Right?
Yep.
You know? So hopefully that answered the question, Jacqueline. So let's go back and look at the... Oh, yes. Okay. I thought you were going to raise your hand and said you put your thumb up. Okay, so let's go back and look at this again. The five colors make one blind in the eyes. The five sounds make one deaf in the ears. The five flavors make one tasteless in the mouth. In short, the world is an illusion. And if you believe the world, you're lost. You may not know it, but you're lost. Racing and hunting make one wild in the heart. Goods that are difficult to acquire make one cause damage. In spite of that, people who believe the world have certain needs for comfort, both physical and emotional comfort, right? And again, we're talking to leaders. And as a leader, in spite of the fact that the world is not real, you cannot ignore the impact it has on the people who believe it is. It's not in being an effective leader. Therefore, the sages care for the stomach and not the eyes, meaning you take care of the needs of your people, emotional and physical, without believing what you're seeing. That is why they discard the other, discard what they're physically seeing, what they're hearing with their ears, etc., and take this, stay with the inner truth. So that's a beautiful balancing act of reminding oneself of the truth while allowing everyone else to be where they are. But it's always been right there in our core values, at core value number 2 and core value number 5. Let's go look at Wayne Dyer. He ended his, was a little different, and it actually has a different meaning, and I think it's worth looking at too. Derek Lynn, by the way, this is twice now I've seen the Derek Lynn translation. When something is very physical, like feed your people, he tends to keep it that way, feed your people. Like he understands, it seems like the original meaning of the Tao Te Ching being for leaders, and he keeps that meaning in there. Definitely Stephen Mitchell and sometimes Wayne Dyer, in their translation, they change the meaning a little bit. And I'm not even 100% sure whether they know that the Tao Te Ching was written for kings. I don't even know, you know, what their point of view was. So what we're going to hear is how that got changed a little bit, at least in the Wayne Dyer version. The five colors blind the eye. The five tones deafen the ear. The five flavors dull the taste. The chase and the hunt craze people's minds. Now, this is a piece that he's changed. And in fact, let me show you one more thing. If we look at the way that Derek Lynn did this, the first three lines about how the world is an illusion were said in one paragraph. And then the next two lines, which basically communicated that people have needs or else they go deeper in their egos and become unruly, is a set aside in a separate paragraph. Right, so you have the first three lines and then the next two lines. Wayne has actually even broke that up differently. He has the first five lines together, and then this next part, which he's turned into two lines, but this next part he's separated. So it's almost as if he's saying these two have nothing to do with each other, when Derek Lynn was saying these two are highly related. So that's why it's kind of interesting to look at multiple translations of the Tao, because, you know, people really understand what they're reading differently, and therefore they interpret even what lines fit together differently, and it changes the meaning. And usually I find all of the meanings are valuable. You know, it's not a matter of trying to find the right one, because, you know, we'd just be making up whichever one we believed was right. It's more trying to get the value out of each way that this has been interpreted. So it's interesting because the way Wayne Dyer has broken it up, the five colors blind the eye, the five tones deafen the ear, the five flavors dull the taste, the chase and the hunt craze people's minds. When you put those lines together, it sounds like it's saying, if you believe in the illusion, you're crazy. I mean, you know, which is also true, right? Going after the illusion, going after what's in the world. It makes you suffer, makes you insane. So it's also true, but it's completely different, even just the way the paragraphs are broken up, completely different than the meaning that was derived from reading Derek Lynn's version. And then he says in the next paragraph, wasting energy to obtain rare objects only impedes one's growth. So what this is saying is that if I am going after something in the world, I'm impeding my spiritual growth, which is also true, but a completely different meaning than we just got out of Derek Lynn. Right? By believing in the world, by going what's after in the world, I'm crazy, I'm suffering, and I'm impeding my spiritual growth. Kind of reminds me of something that I read recently in Ramana Maharshi's teaching, I believe, the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. It's also in NTI, in that you have to accept that the world is not real. You know, that's something you have to accept. If you're not willing to accept that, your spiritual growth is going to be impeded, because you're going to give too much value to the happenings, too much value to your desires, too much value to what you think you need to be happy and safe. So wasting energy to obtain rare objects only impedes one's growth. And then the next paragraph, the master observes the world but trusts his inner vision. That meaning is getting back to the same heart that Derek Lynn had, right? I mean, the physical world is still seen, but it's not believed. Instead, the master is focusing on the enduring awareness of self. The master observes the world but trusts his inner vision. He allows things to come and go, right? He doesn't get in the way of things. He doesn't try to control things. He understands that everything that comes is also going to go. Temporary appearances, while he stays focused on the enduring awareness of self. The master observes the world but trusts his inner vision. He allows things to come and go. He prefers what is within to what is without. So that's where his attention goes. At the last retreat, at the retreat house, the natural meditation retreat, we looked at some quotes by Nisargadatta Maharaj that basically said, attention is love and love is attention. That is love. So whatever you're paying attention to, that's what you love, whether you know it or not. You may think you hate it, but if you're giving it a lot of attention, it's actually a love of yours because you're paying it so much attention, right? You're obviously very interested in this thing that you say you hate. So when I think of that along with this last line, he prefers what is within to what is without. You know, if we change that slightly to say he loves what is within instead of what is without, it shows where his attention is, right? He prefers what is within. His attention is within to what is without. So I'll just read that one more time and then we'll go look at Stephen Mitchell. The five colors blind the eye. The five tones deafen the ear. The five flavors dull the taste. The chase and the hunt craze people's minds. Wasting energy to obtain rare objects only impedes one's growth. The master observes the world but trusts his inner vision. He allows things to come and go. He prefers what is within to what is without. And notice also that, again, Derek Lynn's translation was speaking to a king who needs to care for the people. And notice that doesn't really show up in Wayne Dyer's version at all. You know, this is just a spiritual message to you about you, which is also good, right? Also good. Let's look at Stephen Mitchell. Stephen Mitchell says, colors blind the eye, sounds deafen the ear, flavors numb the taste. And then again, Stephen Mitchell often kind of takes artistic, I always can't think of that last word, you know, what's that last word? Are you going to help me out there, Kathy? License, yeah, that's it. Artistic license. He often takes artistic license. You know, so he goes further away from what's written and more into the heart of what it says to him. So again, he says, colors blind the eye, sounds deafen the ear, flavors numb the taste, thoughts weaken the mind, desires wither the heart. And again, I'm reminded of that quote that we had this week in the Seven Steps to Awakening. That said that some things purify the mind and some things stain it, right? I guess we're going to look it up, aren't we? Shauna, did you find it already? It's in the 80s, I think. Nope, it's not in the 80s.
It is.
95. Okay.
95.
95. Okay, good. So, yeah, here we go. Some events purify the mind and some stain it. Moments of deep insight and all-embracing love purify the mind, while desires and fears, envies and anger, blind beliefs and intellectual arrogance pollute and dull the psyche. So basically what Stephen Mitchell is saying here is thoughts and desires dull the psyche, right? Thoughts and desires dull the psyche. And of course, believing the word, you know, so it really kind of fits. I mean, he's saying colors blind the eye, sounds deafen the ear, flavors numb the taste, thoughts weaken the mind, desires wither the heart. You know, it does have kind of a poetic comparison going back there, back and forth there. And then he says, the master observes the world, but trusts his inner vision. He allows things to come and go. His heart is open as the sky. So in effect, if we look at this quote number 95 here, where it talks about some events purify the mind and some stain it, well, what Stephen Mitchell has done is divide all these lines into just two paragraphs. And the first paragraph lists what stains the mind. And the second paragraph lists what purifies it. So let's look at that again. So here are the things that stain the mind. First of all, believing what you see, what you hear. And when I say what you hear, you know, one thing to really pay attention to is like the stories people tell you about other stories, about other people, even the stories they tell you about themselves, right? You know, are you believing what you're hearing? Are you getting pulled into that, to the stories? Colors blind the eye, sounds deafen the ear, flavors numb the taste. Again, if you're really believing the world, that is staining the mind. If you're believing the physical world, that is staining the mind. Thoughts weaken the mind, so believing your thoughts also stains the mind. Desires wither the heart, so having all of these desires other than the desire for truth, those stain the mind. So believing the world, believing your thoughts, and believing your desires, the mind's desires, I should say, all stain the mind. All right, so what purifies it? The master observes the world but trusts his inner vision. It's kind of like being in the world but not of the world. being focused within, and the way Inner Ramana taught us to be focused within, surrender, following intuition, right? That purifies the mind. Inward focus while living in an outward world. He allows things to come and go. So understanding the temporary nature of every event purifies the mind. And it doesn't matter whether that event is what we would call a positive event or a negative event. Something, you know, quotes that the mind would say is good. You know, you don't want to cling to the good and you don't want to push away the bad. You want to see it all as temporary. Okay. There's a loud crash outside. So maybe some snow just fell off the roof or something. Hopefully it wasn't a person falling off my roof. So I guess they shouldn't have been up there. So seeing everything as neutral or the same, temporary. That's what we mean. Temporary. This is temporary, right? And while being focused on that enduring awareness of self, purifies the mind. And then his heart is as open as the sky, you know, allowing everything without judgment. Purifies the mind. Allowing it to be what it is, allowing her to be as she is, allowing him to be as he is. Purifies the mind. So, oh goody, we have time to look at this again. I'm so happy about that because I want to. So first we'll read Nisargadatta, putting Nisargadatta and the Tao Te Ching together here. Plus maybe some Byron Katie influence, because you guys know Stephen Mitchell is Byron Katie's husband. So maybe we have a little of her in here too. Nisargadatta says, some events purify the mind and some stain it. Moments of deep insight and all-embracing love purify the mind, while desires and fears, envies and anger, blind beliefs and intellectual arrogance pollute and dull the psyche. All right, Stephen Mitchell says, here are the things, you know, he doesn't say this, this is my words, here are the things that stain the mind. Colors blind the eye, sounds deafen the ear, flavors numb the taste. In other words, believing the physical world stains the mind. Thoughts weaken the mind, desires wither the heart. So believing the mind's thoughts and the mind's desires stains the mind. Now here are the things that purify. The master observes the world but trusts his inner vision, being inner focused as you walk about in an outer world, purifies the mind. He allows things to come and go, seeing the temporary nature of everything, seeing it as that, temporary, while being aware of what's enduring, what's ongoing, right, the self, purifies the mind. His heart is open as the sky, allowing everything to be as it is, purifies the mind, you know, without your judgment, of course. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowing it to be as it is. So that's number 12. And Don, I will contemplate a title, and I'll type it in for you once I know it. Thank you.